So this morning I'm going to make a deal with you. If you can just do one thing, I'm going to wrap up the message in about 2 minutes. We can all get home early, maybe get ready for the big game, or anything else that you might want to do, right? So this is the one thing that I'm going to ask you to do, and that is, I do not want you to think about red monkeys. Got it? So I got to do. Just don't think about red monkeys. And why would you think of red monkeys? That's ridiculous. I mean, you didn't get up this morning and say, you know, I wonder how many different species of red monkeys there are in the world. So why? Why would you think about red monkeys? This is going to be easy. In fact, I don't even know if there are red monkeys. I don't know if I've ever seen a red monkey. I've seen a brown monkey. I don't know if I've ever seen a red monkey. So this should be a piece of cake. Just don't think about red monkeys. We all get home early. Got it? All right. So we're not going to think about, you know. Oh, you just thought about red monkeys, didn't you? All right. Second chance, right? So I want you to focus real hard. Concentrate. No thinking about red monkeys. You can think about elephants if you want. You can think about tigers. You can think about bears. I don't care. You can think about brown monkeys. It doesn't make a difference. Don't think of red monkeys, like swinging through the jungle, red monkeys eating a banana, right? So we're not going to think about red monkeys. Got it? All right, here we go. So we're not going to think about. Oh, see? You blew it again. You're thinking about red monkeys. Here's my point. You cannot will yourself to stop thinking about something. You can't say, I'm not going to think about blank. Well, you're already thinking about it. You've lost before you ever begin. Whether it's red monkeys or whether it's chocolate cake, right? So it's the chocolate cake that's sitting in the kitchen and you've already had one piece and you'd really like a second piece. But you say, no, I am not going to have a piece of chocolate cake. So you march yourself out of the room and say, I'm not even going to think about chocolate cake. I'm not going to think about how soft and moist and delicious. You see, it doesn't work. You can't say, I'm not going to think about something. You can't will yourself to do that. But you can change what you're thinking about. You can shift your focus to something different. And now, without really knowing it, you're not thinking about the other thing. This morning, we begin a series of messages about living a transformed life. St. Paul told us that our lives should be transformed more and more into the likeness of Jesus. One of the critical ways in which we can do that is to transform our thinking. Listen to what Paul said to the church at Rome. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. But how? Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. If you can change what you fill your mind with, if you can change what you're thinking about, then that changes also what you do. A transformed life begins with transformed thinking. Transformed thinking starts when you reject the lie. When you reject the lie of the world, the lie that really started at the beginning of time with the fall of creation. You see, it is the message of the world. And the message of the world is this. Christianity, first of all, is no fun. Christianity is a farce. Christianity is a crutch that you need to lean upon. And besides that, all Christians are judgmental. All Christians are just governed by rules and regulations set down by some God on high. So you're lost on both instances. One, you're deemed to be judgmental and burdened by all kinds of rules. And second of all, the message says, and you're not having any fun doing it. Because who would have fun? If you're constantly just trying to make sure that you're following all of the laws that God set down, and if you slip up, they say there's a big God up there who's going to bring the hammer down on you. Who wants to do that? This is the message of the world. It's no fun. You're a bunch of hypocrites. You're judgmental. And you're rude. That's what the message is. And the message is relentless. It is relentless. We are bombarded every day, whether it's on the radio, whether it's on the internet, whether it's on the TV, newspapers, books, they all have basically the same message. And the same message is, you're missing out. You're missing out. It's really the same message the serpent gave to Adam and Eve when he tempted them. Isn't that what he was saying? They said, no, wait, we can't eat from the fruit. And the serpent says, well, why not? What's God holding back? You see, God doesn't want you to eat from that because he knows if you do, you'll be just like him. You're missing out on things. It's the same message. We're missing out if we're trying to be faithful to God. Here's a throwback for you. You all remember Billy Joel? I mean, he's still around, right? Not quite as popular, right? Yeah, the young people are going, Billy who, and why does he have two first names? That's just go with it, all right? Good music, lousy lyrics, right? As I'll demonstrate in just a minute, right? So he was popular, you know, high school, college days for me. Loved Billy Joel, right? Do you remember the song Virginia? Yeah, and you're going to be humming that now for the rest of the day. Yeah, it's good music, rotten lyrics. Because the lyrics of the song, if you remember, says, you know, come on out, Virginia, you Catholic girls. You wait too late. Sinners have much more fun. You remember? The whole point of the song was, if you're going to be faithful to God, well, first of all, eventually you're going to crumble. So why are you waiting so long? Because we sinners out here, we're having a grand old time. We're having much more fun to you. You're missing out. That's the message of the world, and it's relentlessly coming at us. But the message is a lie. The message is a lie. Because what the message promises, you ditch God and his ways, you're going to have a great time. You're going to have a wonderful life. You're going to have all kinds of fun. And you're not going to miss out on anything, but the message is a lie. This is what St. Paul said. Again, he's talking to the church at Rome. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. Focus on that last one. Worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. We turn things around. It's all about what I want. It's all about my desires. It's all about my passions. It's all about what the creature wants instead of the creator. We flipped it. Instead of being the people that God created you to be, instead of being the person that the creator created you to be, we're going to turn that around and say, no, it's all about me, his creation, and all the things that I want and all the things that I desire. And the world promises that's where you're going to enjoy life. That's where you're going to have fun. But it can't deliver. It can't deliver because you never have enough. Listen to what St. Paul said to the church at Ephesus. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality. Here it is, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Another translation is an insatiable lust for more. Because there's never enough. It can't deliver. Sure, you can enjoy it for a while. You can have a grand old time. You can have all kinds of fun. You can enjoy yourself to the hilt, but it's limited. Because happiness has an expiration date on it. And then all of a sudden you're looking for, well, what's the next thing? And what's the bigger thing? Right? Because you're greedy for every impurity because it cannot be satisfied. The message is a lie. It can't deliver. It leaves you always wanting more and more and more. And yet those are the thoughts, those are the images, those are the words, those are the lyrics that flood into our mind. Now, we can't will ourselves to stop thinking about them, but we can change our focus. So stop believing the lie, and now focus on the truth. You want to have transformed lives, listen to the truth. Listen to what God tells us is the truth about life and who we are. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 14. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says, if you want to know the truth, he said, I'm the truth. He says, because I'm the way. If we want to shift the focus off of the creature and back onto the creator, Jesus is the only way. If we want to be reconnected to our Father in heaven, the one who designed and created us, Jesus is the only way. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus says. So he is going to show us the way in which we can now have a relationship with our God, because he's the truth. Because Jesus didn't hold back. And the truth of the matter is, we don't stand a chance on our own. Our life and our eternity is a train wreck if left to ourselves. We are completely unworthy, we're completely imperfect, and we certainly aren't holy, which means we can't be in the presence of a perfect and a holy God. So Jesus tells us the truth, that we are completely helpless. And then he tells us the truth, that he will give it all to us. That the reason that he came was to redeem us. The reason that he came was to restore a relationship with our Father. The reason that he was born was only to die, but to die in our place, so that then he could give to us the gift of forgiveness. He could give to us the gift of life, because he is the life. And not just eternal life, which is supremely important. Where are we going to spend all of time? Right? He's given us eternal life with him in heaven, but also he's talking about life here, life right now. Listen to what he says in John 10:10. He says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Have it abundantly. Jesus came so that we can have life here abundantly. We reject the lie and we listen to the truth. But here's the thing, if we're going to listen to the truth, we need to be reminded of the truth again and again and again. The gospel message is so radical. To tell a human being that they're helpless and that they can only be on the receiving end of a gift from God, we don't take that naturally. We have to be reminded of that again and again. Why is it that we have confession and forgiveness every worship service? Is it so that we can grovel before God? Is it because we can be judgmental against one another so that we can all feel guilty? Absolutely not. It's to remind ourselves of the gospel message. We confess to him and recognize in ourselves how far we have fallen short, only to hear God say, you're my child, I forgive you. Sins washed away, slate clean. You're my son, you're my daughter. We have to be reminded of that on a regular basis, of what God has done for us. We reject the lie, we listen to the truth. And then we transform our thinking and we focus on what is good. Focus on what is good. Instead of focusing on all the evil around us, instead of focusing on all the trouble we have, as real as it may be, to focus on what is good and to fill our mind with what is good. Here's where it all comes down to. Thoughts translate into actions. That's how it is. Whatever we fill our minds with, whatever we're thinking about, that will get translated into action, right? So case in point, the chocolate cake. You remember the chocolate cake? It was right after the Red Monkeys. Okay, you with me? Okay, the chocolate cake. Chocolate cake is there in the kitchen. You've already had one piece. You would really like to have a second piece, but you say, no, I'm not going to have a second piece of chocolate cake. So you march into the family room, and you resolve to not think about the chocolate cake. I'm not going to think about chocolate cake. I'm not going to think about how good that first piece tasted. I'm not going to think about how scrumptious that second piece would taste. I'm not going to think about what it would be if it was paired up with some vanilla ice cream. No, I'm not. I'm not going to think about chocolate cake. I might think about the fact that if it doesn't get eaten, it could go bad. And that would be a shame if it went bad. No, I'm not going to think about it. You know, I am going to go for a walk later on. That would probably counteract. If you think about it long enough, you're going to have a piece of chocolate cake. Thoughts translate into actions. So if we reject the lie, if we listen to the truth, and we focus on what is good, that translates into our lives. That is the transformed life. So let's focus on being thankful. Let's be content, not just happy. And we do that by being thankful. Listen to what Paul says to the church at Colossae. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed you were called, and be thankful. He links the peace of Christ with gratitude. And it makes sense. If you are focusing on all the things that you have and thankful for all that you have, that lends yourself to being content. And then you're at peace. You're not constantly wanting more and more and more. In this instance, the peace of Christ is linked with thanksgiving because that leads to contentment. Happiness is temporary. Contentment is long-lasting. So let's focus in on thankfulness. Let's try it right now. I'm going to give you like 5 seconds at the most. Think about all the things you're thankful for. Just list them. No bad things, all the things you're thankful for, right? Okay, that's enough. Were you still going? Sure you were. Sure you were. The list just goes on and on and on of the things you're thankful for. Focus in on those. Instead of focusing in on all of the negative, focus on that. I'm not saying don't be realistic. I say fill your mind with all that God has done and his blessings. Focus on thankfulness. Then focus on the Word of God. You've got all these other messages around you, constantly, every angle. That means we focus in on God's Word and we fill our minds and our hearts with his promises, what he has to say to us. Again, St. Paul says this. He says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, with thankfulness in our hearts to God. We focus in on God's Word and his promises for us. We come here to worship, to hear from his words and to sing praises and to read psalms. We come here to be fed by the sacrament. You see, we're filling our minds with God's truth and God's promises for us. We focus in on the Word of God. We can't will ourselves not to think about something else, but we can choose what we put into our minds, what is the forefront. But that's not just a one-time deal. This is all the time we have to be very, very mindful of what are we filling our minds with. So maybe that means every morning when you get up, you have your daily devotion. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's Portals of Prayers. Maybe it's from Lutheran Hour. Maybe it's an email that you get. For me, whenever I open my Bible app, it pops up with a different verse for me to read. Transparency here. When it first started doing that, I was irritated. It's like, I got work to do. Yeah, I know. Bad. I know. I changed. I'm like, no, wait a minute. I can take a few minutes. And you know, what does God's Word say? Do you have something like that? On a regular basis, just listen to the Word of God. Because whatever we focus on, whatever our thoughts are, get translated into actions. Let me summarize the whole thing with something from Philippians chapter 4. It's near the end of his letter to his church at Philippi, and so he's sort of bringing things down to a close, and he says this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. This is what you want to fill your mind with. This is what you want to focus on. We cannot will ourselves to stop thinking about something, but we can change our focus. We can transform our thinking, and that leads to a transformed life. Amen. Just stand and pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are bombarded on a daily basis of a message of this world, a message which is false, a message which is a lie. But Father, we cannot face it alone. We pray for the gift of your Spirit to give us courage, to give us discernment, to give us stamina so that we can stand up and to reject the lie, to listen to the truth, and to focus on you and your word. In Jesus' name, amen.